Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
In 1 Chronicles, we read of David blessing the Lord. Before all the people, David blessed the Lord, saying, "You are blessed forever, Lord God of Israel, our Father. For you, Lord, are great, powerful, and glorious. You reign in majesty and are victorious. Everything in heaven and on the earth belongs to you. To you, Lord, belongs the kingdom, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all you have made. In your hand is the power and might to make your people great and to give strength to all." What a great scripture. Probably most of you wouldn't be able to recognize the context in which David expressed that praise. In fact, he is giving thanks for the way in which people had come to give generously for the building of the temple. And the scripture lists some of the gifts that were given. The people really had given themselves so generously to the Lord for the building of the temple. And David realizes all the praise belongs to God, because if it wasn't for his goodness and generosity, they wouldn't have prospered in the way that they had, so they wouldn't have been able to give as they did. We have been meeting with the Lord in these last couple of weeks in his tenderness, his mercy, his love, his grace. That's like one side of the coin. The other side is his majesty, his power, his glory. And that's the side, if you like, the side of the coin that David is focusing on here. In just three verses, as it is written in Scripture, he's talking about God being Lord, our Father, yes, but great, powerful, glorious, majestic, victorious, possessing everything, King, head over all riches and honor and power belong to him. All just within three verses. David knew the Lord. And it isn't simply that we want to know him in the way that we desire to know him, to know his love, to know his acceptance, to know his forgiveness, his mercy, to know that his grace is always there and is always sufficient for us. All those things are true. God making himself and his life and love available to us. But he also wants us to know him in his majestic holiness, his awesome glory, his mighty power. And of course, what you see in the ministry of Jesus is both these things. You see the tenderness, the love, the acceptance, the mercy that he showed to people, and yet at the same time, his great authority, his great power, his miracle-working ability. And all those things are held together in just one person. And that's the person that lives in you. Christ in you. And that is the nature of the Spirit of God. In the second year, we've been having some fun with the doctrine of the Trinity and understanding that the three persons of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all share the same characteristics, even though, if you like, their mode of operation is distinctive as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are all absolutely one. So they are all love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father loves, Jesus gave his life for us in love. God has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And so through all the characteristics of God, including his might, his majesty, his glory and power. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of glory. Just as the Father is glorified and the Son is glorified, so the Spirit is the Spirit of glory who has come to indwell us. Just as the Father is powerful and Jesus demonstrated the power during his humanity, so he promised the disciples, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then there's that verse towards the end of what Jesus is saying to the disciples at the Last Supper, as recorded in John's Gospel, when he says that all that belongs to the Father belongs to the Son, and all that belongs to the Son has been known, made known to us through the Holy Spirit. Which means that what Jesus is saying is everything the Father has, everything the Son has, is made available to us, is given to us by the Holy Spirit. So God wants to reproduce every aspect of his life in us, every aspect. He created man in his own image to be like him. And we know that God's purpose is to transform us into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. So as he works out his purpose in our lives, we become more and more like him. And it's easy for us to focus on those aspects of God that we know we need to walk and live in relationship with him day by day. But we need also to be laying hold of those aspects of his might, his majesty, his victory, his power, his glory, that enables us to do what he's calling us to do. So it isn't one or the other, it's both we need. Both sides of the coin, both the gentleness, the tenderness, the love, the compassion, the mercy, but also the power, the glory, the majesty, the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants to see both these together in us as they were in Jesus. Whoever claims to live in him, which is another way of saying whoever claims to be a Christian, must walk as Jesus did. In other words, must really reflect both aspects, both sides of the coin. So this is the purpose of God. Now, when God reveals his purpose in Scripture, we don't have to do anything to persuade him to fulfill that purpose. It was his purpose before we even realized it was his purpose, before we knew that it was his purpose. But if he has revealed his purpose, then he always wants us to understand that that purpose has been made possible for us. That God is not withdrawing from us any aspects of who he is. He's not hiding, he's not saying, well, you can have my love but not my power. You can have my mercy but not my majestic glory. what he is really saying is, everything I am and everything I have is yours. And that's how Paul puts it, that all that God is made available to us through Jesus. So he wants us to appropriate. Appropriate means to take hold of something and make it your own. He wants us to drink. That's one of the ways in which the scripture says, to keep drinking in of the living water of his spirit. Keep drinking in his presence, his love, his life, his power, his majesty, his glory. However you describe it, what it really means is that God wants us to keep receiving. And whenever we come here for an 8 o'clock or at any other time, our expectation is that we're going to receive from the Lord. Now, let me explain what I mean. It's very easy for us to focus on a particular thing that we need to see him doing, the answer to a particular prayer, rather than to focus on the Lord himself, to focus on what needs to be done in a situation, rather than to focus on the one who is able to do it. Now, the importance of worship is that it puts our focus on him. And the principle of the kingdom that we are all familiar with is, the measure you give determines the measure you get back. So David is praising God in that scripture because the people were giving so generously, because they had received so much, because of the ways in which they were giving themselves to God at that time. The same thing applies to us. If we come with a giving attitude, giving ourselves, surrendering, wanting to worship, to glorify, to praise our God, that opens the way for us to be able to receive. But what I found is that we need to give ourselves time to receive. It isn't that we just worship the Lord and leave it at that. Because what God wants is relationship, and relationship is always a two-way thing. You give and receive. We are called to love one another as he has loved us. And we know that if you love people with the same love with which God has loved you, that's going to involve giving, serving, blessing, encouraging, giving to others, placing them before yourself. But we can't fulfill his command to love one another if we only give to others and don't receive from them. And some people find it much easier to give than to receive. But if we're going to love one another, then you've got to be prepared to let others give to you. You've got to allow them to serve you. You're not to be independent, but to acknowledge that they need to bless you as much as you need to bless them. They need to give to you and to serve you as much as you need to give to them and serve them. So this is loving one another. It's giving and receiving. And if we're not prepared to receive from others, we're preventing them from loving in the way that God is calling them to love. So the whole business of love is to give and to receive. It's a mutual thing. And so the same with God. We come to give to Him our worship, to surrender our lives, our hearts to Him afresh, to acknowledge that He is our Lord, to be thankful for all that He has done for us on the cross, through His salvation, through His grace, and so on. But not only to give to Him that praise and honor that is due to His name, but then to allow Him to give to us. Now, this is where we have a bit of a paradox, because we know that in Scripture, He has already given us His Spirit. He has given us the fullness of life. He has given us every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. It's all ours. But that doesn't mean that we've appropriated all that He's given. A very simple, mundane sort of illustration is, it's as if what God did as soon as you became His child was to put £1 million in your bank balance, in your bank account. Except, of course, we're talking spiritually, so it's like having 1 million spiritual blessings in your spiritual account. But if somebody was to place £1 million in your bank account, the great and wonderful thing is you'd pay your fees immediately. but quite apart from that, you would want to use it. You would be foolish to have £1 million and just leave it there unused. Of course, you would have to know that that money had been deposited in your account. If you didn't believe that, you couldn't use it. But if you believed that that money was there, then you would know that you could begin to draw upon that, not only for your own needs, but in order to bless others. Now, you see, the same thing is true spiritually. You need to know the spiritual blessings that God has given us. You need to know the inheritance that you have as a co-heir with Christ, as someone who lives in Him and in whom He lives. You need to know that God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. You need to know that you have the fullness of life. But it's no use knowing those things and just leaving those blessings unclaimed in your heavenly spiritual account. What God wants is for you to receive, to appropriate that which He has given. And that's where the whole life of faith comes in, because it's by faith that we appropriate what is already ours. You see, this is the thing you have to understand, that all these riches are ours in Christ. It isn't that God hasn't given them, He's given them, but we have to appropriate them by faith. Now, that shouldn't be too difficult for us to understand, because this is the way that salvation works. God has already done everything that is necessary for anybody to be saved. He doesn't have to do anything more. He's already given His life on the cross. He's already poured out the Holy Spirit and so on. Everything has been done to enable a person to be saved. But they still have to come and appropriate the salvation that God has made available. And when they did that, what did they do? They had to exercise faith. Yes, they needed to give themselves to the Lord. The measure you give is the measure you get back. But they had to believe what Jesus had done for them. You can't lead a person to the Lord in a proper way if they don't know what to believe. There has to be revelation of faith. There has to be faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, according to Scripture, for a person to be saved. Not just to believe that God loves them, but to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Muslims would say that their God loves them, but they don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So there's no salvation through Islam, but only through the only one who can give salvation. There is no other way by which a person may be saved except by the name of Jesus. Now, that's what we believe, and that's what we know to be the truth. So we are to be the people of faith who are appropriating all these great riches that God has put into our spiritual heavenly bank account. That's just a simple way of putting it. But we still need to do it. It's no use knowing, okay, all these wonderful aspects of who God is, His majesty, His glory, His sovereign rule and reign, is mine in Christ, if I don't appropriate, if I don't receive, if I don't have the faith to take hold of those things and to understand God wants to express every aspect of who He is in my life. He hasn't given me a blessing from Christ. He's given me Christ to live in me. He hasn't given me simply an anointing of the Holy Spirit. He's given me the person of the Holy Spirit. The anointing I have is the person of God. That God lives in me. According to the Scripture, you live in the Father and the Father lives in you. You live in Jesus and Jesus lives in you. You live in the Spirit and the Spirit lives in you. You're involved with the whole Trinity of God. So, it's as if God holds out His hand to us all the time. And in His hand is every aspect of who He is. And you see, what He says to us is, I don't want you just to come to me out of need and take what you know you need at any given point. I want you to take the riches that I want to give. I don't want to just meet need. I want you to take of the fullness of who I am and what I have, because I want the fullness of my life to be reflected in your life. So, what is the measure of faith by which you're living at present? Just to look to God to meet the need? Or are you really believing, right, everything He has is mine, and He wants me to take hold of His holiness, His glory, His majesty, so that He can rule and reign in me, His power, His authority, everything that He wants to see reflected in my life. How do we take hold of these things? By faith. By coming before Him and literally doing that. Lord, I'm open to receive into my being, into my life, into my experience now, that which You died to give me. That which You have already made available to me by Your Holy Spirit. That which is part of the inheritance that You say is mine. So as a people of faith, this is what God wants us to be doing all the time. And you see, the more of His majesty's glory, His power and His greatness that we lay hold of, the more that then becomes reflected in what we do. So it's interesting to see at the end of that little passage I read, in your hand is the power and might to make your people great and to give strength to all. I can remember many years ago now when God first said to me, Colin, I want to make you great. And I was taken aback because, you know, we all know that we need to be humble servants, not have exalted ideas about ourselves or anything like that. And so I was asking the Lord, you want to make me great? It seemed sort of inconceivable at first. How can that be? Not great in the eyes of others. Not trying to exalt ourselves and take glory to ourselves. God obviously didn't mean anything like that. But what he was saying is, I want to make you great in love, great in faith, great in power, great in authority, great in my glory, in reflecting my glory. And, okay, that sounds wonderful. But then the Lord said, but I can only make you great if you want to be great. If you're prepared to be great in the things of God, I'm not going to impose greatness upon you. You have got to want to be great. Now, you see, Jesus was the greatest of all. Nobody would argue with that. But he was the most humble of all. So you've got to try to put those two things together. I want you to be humble like Jesus, but I want you to be great like Jesus. And therefore, I want you not only to aspire to being a humble servant like him, but I want you to aspire to the greatness that I have made possible for my children. Not great in the eyes of man, but great in the eyes of God. Now, the last couple of Sundays, I've been preaching in our congregations in Crawley and in Worthing, and although the two messages were quite different, they started in the same way, saying that God wants this year to be an Enoch year. And I got everybody, some of you were there, of course, and got everybody to say to one another, this year I want to be like Enoch. Now, of course, you all immediately recall who Enoch was. Enoch was just taken to be with the Lord without there being any record of his ever dying. But to say that God wants us to be like Enoch is not to say that he's going to rapture you this year. But what it says in Hebrews is why God took Enoch in that way. You can turn, if you like, to Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. What was the unique thing about Enoch? He lived to please the Lord. So this is going to be an Enoch year for you. That we live to please the Lord. But what will please him? That we are great in his eyes. That we allow him to make us great individually and great as a people. Not exalted opinions, not wanting to be great in the eyes of others, but great in the eyes of God. Why? Because we are appropriating all that God has made available to us. We're getting rid of the poverty mentality that says, I'm just little me, and God couldn't do very much through little me. I'll just be one of the humble ones that make up the numbers. That's not humility, that's unbelief. It's disbelieving what God says about you and what God desires to do in you and through you. If we're to be a Reformation people and you need to keep working through the Lord's orchard, it's no use just leaving it on your shelf. You'll never get Reformation that way. I did an hour-long program yesterday on Premier Radio, which has a very big footprint now, not just in London. And it was interesting because various members of the staff up there have been reading and using the Lord's Orchard. And what is quite obvious is how challenging everybody is finding it. It's very simple. And they say, yeah, it's very simple, but challenging. Challenging because we have to live in the full revelation of the truth of the gospel as a kingdom people. It's not talking, the Lord's Orchard isn't talking about something that's impossible for us, beyond us. It's talking about what God expects of every one of his children, what he has made possible for every one of his children. But you see, it's taking hold of each aspect, those 44 different aspects of kingdom life, and making them your own, realizing that every one of them is a reflection of something of the character of Jesus, the character of the Father, the character of the Holy Spirit, that God wants to see reflected in our lives. And the more we take hold of all those characteristics and see them expressed in their lives, the greater we will be in the eyes of God. And therefore, the greater the fruit that we can produce. So, yes, we want to maintain that attitude of humility. God help us if we ever get proud, because God resists the proud. But to say, I want to be great in the eyes of God is not pride. That is humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you. It's humbling yourself and your thinking under the thinking of God, because his thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And actually, his thoughts about you are higher than your thoughts about yourself. He knows that you are capable of so much more than is actually being expressed in your life at this time. He knows I'm capable of much more than it's being expressed in my life at this time. So this is just as much a challenge to me as to you. So we come back, as we have several times already this term, to realizing that what determines the activity of God in our lives is the nature of our hearts. What we believe in our hearts, what we want in our hearts, what we pray for from our hearts, not just the words, but from our hearts. So this is the truth that God is putting before us this week. to work through for this week. That's what a keynote is. Do you want to be great in the eyes of God, fulfilling His plan and purpose for you? Will you abandon those small ideas and adopt God's thoughts about you and about your life and your destiny, about your future, and the way in which God wants to use you? To do great things. Not for your glory, but for His glory. Not so that people can admire you, but so people can know Him. Not so that you will appear great, but so that He will appear great. Now, Jesus expressed this in a very simple way. He said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to you." No. Honor you? No. Think you're great? No. But they may see your good works and give glory to the Father in heaven. See, the more we take hold of that greatness and see His greatness being expressed in us, the more light shines out of our lives to impact those that are still in darkness. Not that we may be exalted, but that they will give glory to God. God will be glorified through your greatness. Great in humility. Great in love. Great in compassion. Great in authority. Great in power. Great in fruitfulness. Great in victory. That word always gets Pastor Jonathan going. He loves that word, victory. Great in all these ways. Great in mercy. Great in faith. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, and that can move mountains, what's going to happen if you have great faith? If a little faith can produce that kind of result. Because you see, that's little faith in the greatness of God. And that's what we're talking about, really. So let's, before we pray, just listen to these words once more. David says, "You are blessed forever." He's giving all the glory to God, you see. "You are blessed forever, Lord God of Israel, our Father. For you, Lord, are great, powerful, and glorious. You reign in majesty and are victorious. Everything in heaven and on earth belongs to you. To you, Lord, belongs the kingdom, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all you have made. In your hand." See, come and take from His hand every day. "In His hand is the power and might to make your people great and to give strength to all." So let's all stand. Come into the middle here and get our focus on the greatness of who He is. He's going to hold His hand out to you this morning. not just this morning, but every day. But he's holding out his hand to you this morning. And he wants you to come and take from him. But first of all, let's get our focus on him. Focus on his greatness. Give him praise, honor, glory for who he is. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You are our Lord God. You are our Father. We acknowledge that you are great, powerful, and glorious, that you reign in majesty and victory, that everything in heaven and on earth belongs to you, that yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever, that you are exalted as our head and head of the church, that all riches and honor come from you, that without you we would have nothing and can do nothing, that you reign over all you have made. Hallelujah. We come, Lord, and we submit ourselves afresh to you, our sovereign Lord and King. What a wonder it is that you have made us your children. What a wonder it is, Lord, that you have made us totally acceptable in your sight. And thank you, Lord, that you wash away our sin by the power of your blood. All past failure, all past unbelief, all that small-mindedness. Lord, we ask you to forgive our small-mindedness. Thank you that the mind of Christ is not small-mindedness, it's great-mindedness. And we praise you, Lord, that you have given us the mind of Christ to transcend our natural thinking with your thinking, your thoughts that are higher than our thoughts. Thank you, Lord, your thoughts about us are much higher than our thoughts about ourselves. Thank you that you see that we are capable of so much more than we think. We thank you that your word declares that you are the God who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think. So great are your ways. So great is your power. So great is your desire to see yourself reflected in us. And we give you all the glory. We give you all the honor and the praise. Thank you, Jesus. Come and just pour out your heart in thanks to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank the Lord you're going to be like Enoch this year. You're going to live to please the Lord. To take hold of everything for which he's taken hold of you. That was still Paul's prayer, even towards the end of his life. He says, I want to take hold of everything for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of me. I do not yet claim to have taken hold of all of it, but I press on. I press on. Hallelujah. He looks forward. He doesn't look back. He looks forward. Even at the end of his life, he was still taking hold of more and more and more of his inheritance in Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now just begin to thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Your plan for me is greatness. You don't have a small plan for my life. You only have a great plan. Your word declares that every one of your children has a high calling. Thank you. I don't have a low calling. I have a high calling. praise you, Jesus. And that high calling is to make me great in your eyes. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not just the one who makes up the numbers. I'm your child. I'm anointed. I have the anointing of the Holy One. I'm a co-heir with Christ. I'm even seated with him in heavenly places. Hallelujah. I'm adopted as your son, as your child. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. What a great privilege, what a great honor to belong to you. Thank you that I live in you, the great one, and you live in me. The great one lives in me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I can't diminish your greatness. But I thank you that your greatness wants to break through all the limitations of my thinking. Thank you that you are able to do far more than all I can ask or imagine. According to your power that is already at work within me. Thank you, Lord. This is your word. This is what I declare. Hallelujah. Come on, let's really praise the Lord. Just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Potabare leto bakalas italia leto bakalasutaba. Poparaza tabare leto bakalasita di sandara. Bazandaria leto bakalasita di sandaria leto bakalasandama. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank the Lord that your past is behind you. You're reaching out now for a new future. I don't want a poverty mentality, Lord. I want a faith mentality. I don't want to look at myself and just think I'm useless. I want to keep my eyes fixed on you and see what you are able to do in me, what you are able to do through me. Thank you, Lord. There are no limitations except those I place on myself. And this morning I come to you, Lord, and say, I don't want to live with those limitations of unbelief. I want to live by faith in all that you have made possible for me. Now and in the future, that I will keep taking hold of that inheritance that I have in Christ, that I will keep coming to you and receiving from your hand again and again and again. Potaparia leto bakalasita di santuma. Baparasa taparia leto bakalasita di santuma. Basandaria leto bakalasita di sandaria leto bakalasuta di santo. Balataparia leto bakalasita di sandama. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Porataparia leto bakalasita di sandama. Baparasataparia leto bakalasita di sandama. Baparazadabaria leto bakalasita di sandama. Now, my wife isn't very tall, but I can remember a meeting like this. As the Spirit of God began to move, she said to me afterwards, I felt I was growing taller and taller. Now, that's a spiritual thing, not a physical thing, because I can testify that she never grew physically taller. But I knew exactly what she meant, because I've had times like that. Perhaps some of you have had times like that. But this is what God wants. He wants you to grow. He wants you to know you're growing. You're growing in faith. You're growing in the things of God. You're getting taller. You're getting stronger. Hallelujah. That's what David says. In your hand is the power and might to make your people great and to give strength to all. Getting taller and taller in the Spirit, stronger and stronger in the things of God. Kurata paria leto bakala sita ba. Bazada paria leto bakala sita di sandama. Bapara sata paria leto bakala sita di santama. Bazandaria leto bakala sita di sandaria leto bakala sita di santo. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Puparazataparia leto bakala sita di sandama. Balataparia leto bakala sita di sanda bakala zota di sandama. Puparazataparia leto bakala sita di sandama. Puparazataparia leto bakala sita di sandama. Bazandaria leto bakala sita di sandaria leto bakala zota ba. Puparazatapakala sita di sandama. Says in Psalm 145, you open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. God has got an open hand. He's holding that hand out towards you. Take hold of his hand this morning. Take hold of his hand. Take hold of that might, that majesty, that power, that glory. See, tell him, Lord, I want to see all this reflected in my life. I don't want to just merge into the shadows as if I don't exist. Your word says that your people will do great exploits. And Lord, I want to be one that does great exploits. I want light to shine out of the things that I do, so that people may give glory to you. Not glory to me, Lord, not honor to me. I don't want to be proud. I want to remain humble, but I want to see people giving glory to you because of the great things that you do. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, keep the faith flowing. Faith isn't silent. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Palatabaria leto bakala sitri sandaria leto bakala sitri santoma. Bazarabaria leto bakala sitri sandaria leto bakala zotri santoma. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Puratabaria leto bakala sitri sandaria leto bakala zotri santo. Bazarabaria leto bakala sitri sandaria leto bakala zinoma. Pasandaria leto bakala sitri sandaria leto bakala zotri sandoma. Poparazarabaria leto bakala sitri sandaria leto bakala zundama. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now I want you to just take hold of my hand. To you, this is the hand of God. Right now, the power of God is coming upon you right now. The power of God. Don't resist him. Just receive from him. God. The power of God. Just going to ask Pastor Clive and Paul and the two Pastor Jonathans just to come and do what I've done. Just hold your hand out and let people take hold of the power. Hallelujah. Elizabeth, there's more power. Power of God to make you great in the eyes of God. Hallelujah. There's his power. It's his power. Praise God. The power of God. To make you great in the eyes of God. The power of God for you. Take it. Take it. Take hold of the power of God right now. Right now. Right now. Thank you, Jesus. The power of God. The power of God. Take hold of his hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The power of God. The power of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. The power of God. The anointing of his life, of his love, of his power. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's always more. Always more from God. Just take hold of his hand. The power of God. Power of God come upon you afresh. Fill you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Paparazata palia leto bakarasita disanta. Power of God, come upon you now. Paparazata palia leto bakarasinta. Santo bakataria leto bakarasinta. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, you release this power in each one, the power of God. Thank you, Lord, you want each one of us to be channels of your power. Channels of your power. Thank you, your desire is to empower your whole body, every member of your body, every part of your body, every child of God, full of your love, full of your power. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you said you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Puta pari a leto bagalasita di santama. Thank you, Lord. Power to be the people of God. Power to be his witnesses. Power to heal the sick. power to raise the dead. Power and authority to cast out demons. It's all the Word of God. Power to fulfill the purposes of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just as people are resting in the Spirit, so that power is working in them, operating. Thank you, Jesus. It's coming to the end of doing things in your strength and doing them much more fully in His power, in His might. In His majesty and glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Puta pari aletto bacala sita di santo. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You can put your hand in the hand of God and walk with Him through every day. And I was praying in the night, God said to me, don't let go of my hand. Just keep hold of that hand so that my life and my love and my power keep flowing through you. If you keep hold of my hand, whenever you reach out your hand, my power will flow through you. You see, when you pray for people, it's not all the words that matter, right? It's the power that is imparted. That's what matters. Just know that God can impart His power through you. He can impart His might and strength and healing and whatever through you. Expect that. When you reach out to lay your hand on someone, you're imparting the healing. You're not praying for God to do something. You're imparting the healing in His name. The healing flows into their lives. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Cora tapare letto bacalasita di santoma. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. It's not what you feel, it's what you believe. Jesus says, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Listen to some more of Psalm 145. Great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. Those are not the mighty acts you read of in Scripture, but the mighty acts that He does in each generation. The mighty acts that He does through you. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. You can only speak of His glorious splendor if you know that glorious splendor. That's part of the greatness God wants to see in your life. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works. Just know that God is going to operate in power through your life so that you will do awesome works in His name, not for your glory, but for his glory. And I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Hallelujah. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him, of those who are in awe of how great he is. Oh, Lord, we thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That all that you are and all that you have is made available to us as the children of your inheritance, as the people of faith that you've called us to be. And whatever we have been walking in, Lord, we thank you that greater things lie ahead of us. Now tonight we have an important meeting because it's the vision meeting for the church, the annual vision meeting. Pastor Clive just showed the vision that God is putting before us for this year. Thank him that his vision for you is greatness. This is going to be a great year, because this is going to be a year when you live to please the Lord. Live like an Enoch. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Living to please the Lord. And he's going to do great things through you, through the body of Christ here, through the whole church. Horsham, Crawley, Worthing, wherever else in the 25-mile radius and beyond, wherever he gives us influence, wherever he leads people through this nation, the other nations of the world, all who are connected with Kingdom Faith, all the missionaries that are in many different nations, Kingdom Faith missionaries and other churches that relate to us, come and let's thank God. This is going to be a year of greatness for his glory. A year of power, a year of victory, a year when his majestic glory is revealed in the things that he does. Hallelujah. Thank him, Lord. Thank you, you're going to do great things in my life. Thank you, you're going to do great things through me and in the lives of others. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to see great things. I'm going to see greater things this year than I've ever seen before. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Pura taparia leto bakala sitari sandama. Baza taparia leto bakala sitari sandaria leto bakala sitari santo. Bazandaria leto bakala sitari santo bakatarama. Oh, let's just stand and praise the Lord. Kora taparia leto bakala sitari sandama. Bazandaria leto bakala sitari sandaria leto bakala sinama. Oh, we thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Praise you, praise you, praise you, Jesus. Pura tabaria ledo bakala zata bakala sitri sandama. Baza tabaria ledo bakala sitri sandaria ledo bakala zutri sandama. Bazandaria ledo bakala sitri sandama. David blessed the Lord, saying, you are blessed forever, Lord God of Israel, our Father. For you, Lord, are great, powerful, and glorious. You reign in majesty and are victorious. Everything in heaven and on the earth belongs to you. To you, Lord, belongs the kingdom, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all you have made. In your hand is the power and might to make your people great and to give strength to all. Come on, let's thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. It's going to be a good year, isn't it? Hallelujah. Let's just pray for the meeting tonight. Father, we thank you that the whole body comes together tonight for this vision meeting. Thank you for the anointing that will be on Pastor Clive and others who participate in that. Thank you, Lord, that you will speak to people's hearts so that they will receive revelation and see how they are part of the vision. They are part of your plan and purpose for the body in this place, that everybody has a vital role to play. And we thank you, Lord, that faith is going to be released in the hearts of your people to really believe that what you're saying, the vision that you're giving, is going to be fulfilled, not by our own might and power, but by your Spirit, by the powerful working of your Spirit in and through our lives. And we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. We thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name. Hallelujah. And all God's people said, amen. Come on, let's thank him. Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.